الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيرة. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. عن رب العلماء الكرام، respected elders, brothers and friends in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created this insan, in the composition of this insan, He put good as well as bad. As Mufti Sahib said a short while ago, He has put that ingrained quality of doing good a'mal also and doing bad a'mal also. That nafs that is in insan, through that a person can go towards bad, and at the same time, in going against that nafs, a person can do good. Those that don't have that nafs and only do good are the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those that only do evil and have no good in them, they are the shayateen. But those that have the capability of doing both good and evil is insan. And it is this two qualities that will make a kamil insan, a complete insan. Learning to live with both, learning to understand both. How will we know what our situation is? How will we understand what our reality is? For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put what we would say the zameer of insan, the instinct of man in our heart. That will never talk a lie to us. That is the best judge. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says, فَاسْتَفْتِ قَلْبَكَ. When you come in a situation when you don't know whether what you are doing is right or wrong, first thing you do is you ask your heart. That heart will tell you. If you don't want people to know about it, if you don't want people to see it, then you must know there's garbar inside. There's something wrong. And if you do it with an open heart, if you do it without any heaviness, you do it knowing that Allah Ta'ala likes this, then inshallah there's good in this. So that quality Allah Ta'ala has put in us. And that is the best judge. That judge will tell us whether what we are doing is right or what we are doing is wrong. The next man may not be able to judge us. Our amal, our action may be very good, but the intention behind that action may be different. And who knows that intention? None but the insight. So that is why when we question ourselves, we are our own muftis. We are our own answers we will get from inside. That will tell us whether what we have done is right or is wrong, or what we intend doing is right or is wrong. In reality, according to the Buzurgs, when Allah Ta'ala wants to do khair with someone, wants to do good with someone, then Allah Ta'ala opens to him all his weaknesses. That means he gets engrossed in his own life. And he sees all the weaknesses he has in him. And then he realizes that I need to start rectifying myself, A, B, C, X, Y, Z. And when Allah Ta'ala is angry with someone, then Allah Ta'ala involves him in looking for the weaknesses of other people. That is the time when he now forgets himself. And anything and everything of everybody, he's got something to say. That is when Allah Ta'ala's favor is not on him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, that man who brings a tray of my weaknesses in front of me, I will make dua for him. That means he will come show me what my weaknesses are. I will make dua of maghfirah for him. That, oh Allah, this man has indeed been very kind to me. What sometimes happens is, we get involved in different conditions, a'mal. Our heart may accept, may not accept. That is, that confusion is there. But as the Quran says, وَلِلْ إِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Insan has that inner eye on himself. وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرًا. Despite him sometimes trying to justify the wrong that he is doing, he will find excuses to justify. Sometimes a father does something wrong, and when asked why, it's not actually for me, you know, it's just for my children. I did it for them. You will try to find excuses to justify the wrong. And so many other things in our life, and especially in today's time, so much wrong happens. We get involved, and then when we come to our senses, then we find excuses to justify the wrong. The dua Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala must always make, and which is a great lesson to us. And what was that? Allahumma ij'alni fi aini saghira wa fi ayunin nasi kabira. That Allah make me very small in my own eyes. That means let me always worry of my own self. And think that I still need to go that mile, I still need to correct this, I still need to fix up that. I will never come to that pinnacle of perfection. But Allah, in the eyes of people, give me izzat. Give me dignity, give me grace, because if people don't respect me, how will I be able to pass the message on to them? And this takes a person's life. Making this effort on that nafs. Mujaddid al-Fithani rahimahullah, in his maktubat, mentions that there are few things that a person needs to do in his life which will help him to make tazkiyah of his nafs, which will help him to improve himself. And the word he uses is deede qusoor, apne qusoor ko dekhna. How does a person achieve what he wants to achieve, that is, rather get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first amongst those things he mentions is that a person should involve him or get himself linked to a Shaykh al-Kamil, to a Shaykh who will make his Islam. Now in reality, what do we look for in a Shaykh? A person who's muttabi'i Sharia and Sunnah. A person who follows the Sharia in totality and who follows the Sunnah in totality. And he's been favored by our Mashaykh to make the tarbiyah of others. You give yourself into his hands. Now when you give yourself into his hands, there are times when he will encourage you and he will tell you a few good things so that you can improve yourself as an incentive. There are times when he will be hard on you, and he will scold you, he will tell you a few things, may feel very bitter at that moment. But the intention is not to disgrace or humiliate you. The intention is to rectify yourself. You get those shuyukh, those sheikhs who are jalali, and those who are jamali. Jalali are those who seem to have a very hot temperament. For every little thing they're going to take you to task. And you will find those who are jamali, despite you doing so much wrong, yet with such muhabbat and such love and such kindness they make your tarbiyah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by nature Allah made him jamali. With his love and his kindness, he used to make the tarbiyah of the sahaba. And at this point of time, I need to say, Allah has blessed us also, alhamdulillah, with a shaykh who is jamali. With what muhabbat and love our Islam is made, we don't even understand. Allah keeps his shade over us for a long period of time. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala used to say that when I used to go in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I was a young boy, my mother left me, that you serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, for 10 continuous years, I was serving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send me on an errand, go here, go there, go fetch this, go do that. I used to go and then I get involved in playing and I forget to come in. After a little while, I used to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to look for me. And you say, oh ghulam, oh boy, where you went? I sent you to do this. And with utmost love and kindness, he used to bring me. And it says in 10 years of his khidmah, not once did he even say oof to me. Not once did he even say oof to me. That love that came from the eyes of Muhammad Rasulullah on Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala was such love that an occasion came when his father came to find out that Anas has been taken captive, kidnapped and taken captive and sold as a slave in Makkah. And he's by a person by the name of Muhammad, who is his master. So the father and the son, the father and the brother, that is the uncle of Sayyidina Anas, set out with a bag full of money as ransom. Let us go fetch our son. They come to Makkah, they inquire, they said, yes, there is a person by the name of Muhammad. They come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad, I am the father of Anas, and this is his uncle. And we have come to free our son. We've brought this bag of money as ransom for him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala and says, oh Anas, do you know who these people are? He says, yes, indeed I do. He says, who? He says, this is my father and this is my uncle. He says, they have come to fetch you. And I leave it, it's your choice. You so wish, you go with them. You so wish, you stay with me. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who at that point of time, a young boy, one gaze he sees the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he looks at the father and the uncle. Then again he looks at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then again he looks at the father and the uncle. And finally he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I rather prefer to be your slave than the freed son of my father. I would want to stay and spend my life with you. That was the love Muhammad, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, displayed to the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. In reality, this deen, the knowledge of deen, is what we call as sibghatullah, the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama are the distributors of this knowledge of deen. But the mashayikh in the sangha are the ones that paint the color of deen. You can have the knowledge, but if you have, don't have that, you can have that paint, but if it is not painted on you, that paint can be, no matter how expensive it is, of no color, of no use. These mashayikh take that knowledge, that paint, and then they paint the people, and then you find people like Junaid Baghdadi and people like great. So in reality, the painting work is done by a sheikh. And until and unless you don't put yourself, you don't find the canvas saying, no, don't touch me here, don't touch me there, don't paint me here, don't paint me there, do this, don't. No, the canvas gives itself over. No matter what brush is used, no matter what color is used, no matter what combination is used, at the end of the day, a fantastic picture comes once it is in total control of the sheikh. The sheikh does as he wishes with his murid. And the ultimate purpose is what? To make himself presentable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, a Hindu came to Mirza Jana Jana rahimahullah, also a great saint of his time. And it was well known that this Hindu had the quality of kashful qulub. He used to make kashf on the hearts of people. So when he came to Mirza Jana Jana rahimahullah, Mirza Jana Jana was told that this is the quality this man has. So he said to him, make kashf on me and see what's my condition. So this person made kashf, and after a few moments, he said, I see absolute darkness, layers of darkness upon darkness. And that was supposed to be a saint of Allah Ta'ala. So Mirza Jana Jana rahimahullah asked him, how did you get this quality of making kashful qulub? He said, I made riyadat, I made sacrifice, lot of effort, abstinence from everything that my nafs desired, I went against it and Allah, and I got this quality. Then he got him engrossed into some other conversation, and after a short while he asked him, he says, why don't you accept Iman? He says, my heart doesn't desire. You see, but everything else you go against your desire. Now here you are following your desire. You don't want to accept Iman. And the threat he made on him at that time, that person read the Kalima. After he read the Kalima and he became a Muslim, then Mirza Jana Jana rahimahullah said, now make kashf on me and see. And after a few moments he turned out and he says, I see absolute light, so much nur, I cannot even withstand it, so much nur. So Mirza Jana Jana rahimahullah said to him, my heart is like a mirror to you. That is what a sheikh is to you. The first time when you made kashf, you saw the kufr, the darkness of your kufr in that. And now that you see making kashf, you see the nur of the iman that you brought. So many times, we sometimes think that the sheikh, you know, we become critical. No, that one this, no this one that, why this, why that. In reality, it is our wrong that we see. It is not the wrong of our shuyu. Allah Ta'ala has chosen them, Allah has given them such status, it is beyond our comprehension. We don't even understand the position that Allah Ta'ala bestows upon them. We should understand one very important thing here, that the love that a mother has for a child, but that is worldly love, to see that the child is comfortable and whatever else goes with it. But the love that a sheikh normally has for a murid, that love is eternal, is spiritual love.
And that love is, how can he make his life so he can enter Jannah? And this, many a times we, because of our weaknesses, we don't reciprocate. So we need to understand that the company of shuyukh is so important for us, that in reality, to live without it is like almost impossible. Or to make our Islam without them is virtually impossible. The second important point that we need to understand in making our Islam is, after we have given ourselves over to a sheikh, we should make friends our friends pious people. We should befriend pious people. For the simple reason that this person who is your friend, it is a pious person, he will continuously keep on reminding you, see, this wasn't right, that was good, that wasn't right, that was good. And in that spirit, we should take it from them that we should try to correct ourselves. If somebody is a friend of ours and tells us that, you know what, I observed this of you and this wasn't the right thing you did, then immediately at that time, we should put our heads down for a while. Say, Jazakallah. Because ultimately, he's concerned of not you, but your akhirat. He's saving you from Jahannam. So that is a true friend. Today we think opposite. If somebody is our friend and he doesn't tell us anything, carries on praising us and talking good about us, and then behind our backs we don't know what he says about us, we think they are friends. In reality, that is not a friend. A friend is he who lives with you and with a lot of hikmat, wisdom, love, true friendship, continuously keeps on reminding you, but you know it, you weren't there today, you weren't there for Fajr, are you ill? You know your friend is keeping an eye on you, he knows exactly what's happening. Is concerned about you and your welfare, more so about your akhirah. More so about your akhirah. That is why Nabiyyu Kareem also mentioned in the hadith, Al mar'u ala dini khalilihi, that a person is on the faith of his friend, on the creed of his friend. فَلْيَنْدُرْ أَحَدَكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Continuously see who you befriend. You will be known from your friends, the kind of company that you keep. On one occasion, a king of the past used to have a particular day of the week where he used to call the ulama ikram and host them. And he used to go out of his way, show great ikram to them for the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon them. But amongst them there was one alim, whenever he used to come, then this king used to go off his throne and he used to make him sit on top. So for some period of time it continued, till one day one alim turned around and he says, but this person is no one. He's not even a Shaykhul Hadith, he's not even this, he's not even that, he's a simple alim like everybody else is. And why you treat him like that? He says, whenever he comes, and if he observes any weaknesses in me, in a very nice way he comes and he tells me, these are the weaknesses that I see in you and try and rectify yourself. And I do go out of my way to rectify myself. So in reality I regard him as my ustad, as my teacher, as my sheikh. That's why whenever he comes, I rather sit down and I put him on my place. So this is the reality of life. When we find people who are ultimately down and seem very humble and slow, these are the people who are really concerned of our welfare. And we need to benefit from them in whatever advice they give us. We should really look into ourselves and try and adopt those advices. More so we should remember that no man is perfect and you can never do everything 100%. Those that are above us, our shuyukh and whoever else, have the right to reprimand us. Or rather, at least the right, we owe an explanation to them for what we do. Many a times we say, why should I tell them? What is it the business? Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Hazrat Yasir ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a governor of Hamas. On one occasion, some people came and they complained to Sayyidina Umar that we have 3 complaints against this governor. He said, what is it? He said, the whole day he works. And the whole night he doesn't do no work, we don't see him. And then in the morning when he comes to work, he's always a little late. And a Friday morning he doesn't work at all. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu summoned Hazrat Yasir ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu and asked, oh Yasir, these are the complaints against you. What have you to say? So Sayyidina Yasir gives an answer. He says, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's true what you say. But let me give you the reasons. He says, the whole day I engross myself in the service of the people. Whatever the affairs are, I try and handle them down. And I've reserved my whole night from after Isha till the morning for the ibadat of my Allah. And because there is no slave at home, and the wife needs to see to all the chores, bringing of the water, seeing to the children, everything, in the early part of the morning, I do help her and I try and finish half her work for her. So it doesn't become so difficult for her thereafter in the day. And that is why I come late for her. And that Friday story is also true, because the garment that I have on my body is the only garment I possess. Being the governor of Hamas. So every Friday I take off this garment, I wash it, I wait for it to dry, and then I put it on and then come for Jummah with it. So Sina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala says, if these are the governors of my under me, Allah ta'ala inshallah will be happy with my rule. So in reality, this is the condition. We should even understand one very important thing. That the company that we are talking of, sometimes, as Hazrat Mufti Sahib explained it now, you don't see nothing coming forth. But just being there, staying there, kharbuza rang pakarte hai kharbuze se. If you have one melon which is raw, and you put it with a melon that is ripe, because of that ripe, this one will also get ripe. So sometimes just to stay with them, even ultimately it may seem nothing is coming, but it will ripen you eventually. And this is the meaning of sohbat. This is the meaning of sohbat means just to be in their company. That look, that nazar in itself, Allah Ta'ala makes it penetrate the heart. Then the third thing Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Kithani Rahimahullah mentions, that many a times we need to know our status from our enemies. What our enemies think of us. And then sometimes, whatever they say, we should sit and ponder, is it really in me or not? If it is in me, then I should correct myself. And if it is not in me, then I should make shukr, oh Allah, you know the truth. Sometimes what happens is, everybody don't have friends. There are always somebody and somebody who's got something to say about someone. But if someone comes and tells us, you know what, that person said this about you, then we also go 99. Then instead of controlling ourselves, sometimes unpleasant things come out from our side also. And that is very dangerous. On one occasion, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah was in his majlis and he needed to give somebody some money So when he took out his wallet or bag, whatever he may have had, he realized he doesn't have loose money, he doesn't have change. So he asked somebody that, does anybody have change? So one of the people sitting around there, sometimes people are very bold, you know, they want to make Islam of the Mashayikh. There, he says, Hazrat, your masjid may be danda ho raha hai. So immediately Hazrat got up and said, by mouth. He went out of the masjid outside. And then the person that had loose money went and he gave him the change, and he gave him the money and he came back. After the masjid is finished, one other alim got up and said, Hazrat, Maghdi, ye danda thora tha. It wasn't a business transaction. It was just a matter of giving change. Hazrat said, ye to main bhi janta hun. I also knew that. But I feared, had I told him that, in future I should have closed the doors of my own Islam. So that is why I went out, so in future if I do something wrong, at least they have the courage of telling me. Now who are we talking of? And what attitude has been displayed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding those people had. How they used to go on to make the Islam. It is regarded, mentioned regarding Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Ganguly rahimahullah. Towards the ending part of his life, he became blind towards the last part of his life. So one day somebody came and said, Hazrat, this person is an arch enemy of yours and has written a book on you. So Hazrat sent somebody and says, fetch the book. He says, read it and read it to me. Now the person already read it and he knew there was so much filth inside. And so much things written, he didn't even have the courage to read it out to him. It was like as if he was swearing him. So he said, Hazrat, it's all filth, it's rubbish. I don't even have the courage to read this to you. Let's forget about it. He said, no, read it. Maybe in all that filth, one good thing will come out. One good thing he may mention, and I can make my Islam through it. So read it to me. And he made him read that book. On another occasion, one of our akabir, somebody said something regarding him. So the other murid got very upset. So he says, you don't have to get upset about it. He says, why? He said, let me show you. He called for his stack of envelopes, somebody ran, Hazrat Shaykh and Fazilatuddas and that and all big business. He says, in reality there is nothing of this. So this words, Allah is just making this man state to keep me also to level. So Akabir and our Shuyukh have never thought and regarded themselves to be anybody superior. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahimahullah, great Mufassir of the Quran, when he came for his Islam to Hazrat Mawlana Thani Rahimahullah, and after the first majlis, and he was treated like every other murid. We had to sit with tashahud position, he couldn't lift up his gaze, and he treated him 100% like that. After a few minutes, after the majlis was finished and he went to his room, Hazrat Thani Rahimahullah turned to the people, few people sitting there, and he said, jante ho ye kon hai? Ye Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani hai. Bas, Allah ne is bande ke supur kar diya iski islah karna, warna main kaha aur wo kaha. He says, this is no ordinary man. But Allah has made my responsibility to make his Islam. Otherwise, weigh he and weigh me. So this is the spirit of Islam we need to understand. We need to understand the company of those who we adopt must be such people who can guide us. And we need to understand when people sometimes talk bad of us, we shouldn't feel offended. They should go back and we should sit down and ponder and think, am I really? Maybe something, there may be some truth in it. Let me try and see. I may be able to correct myself, rectify myself. And then, also Hazrat Rahimahullah writes that another way of making a person's Islam also is to learn lessons from the mistakes of others. Luqman alayhi salam, when it was asked of him, that how did you become so wise? He said, I used to look at the mistakes and all the follies of people and take lesson from there. And I never used to go and make the same mistakes again. I used to always be observant why this happened to that person, why it went wrong, why this went wrong, why? And I used to realize and I used to know the mistakes and I kept myself away from those mistakes. That made me who I am. So we should always be observant of this fact. And when somebody makes a mistake, never taunt at him. Never mock and jeer at him. If somebody is involved in any guna, never point a finger and even make a joke out of it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in one hadith, the mafhum is, if you taunt at a person making a guna and a sin, he says, I take oath in whose hands my life is, you will not die until you make the same guna. So this is how important it is. Instead, let us take a lesson and make dua that Allah don't take me to that path. Safeguard me from that. As-sa'idu man wu'idha bighayrih. A honorable person, a pious person, a good man, is he who takes a lesson from the other people. And wa-shaqiyu man wu'idha binafsih. And an evil-hearted man, a person on the wrong path, is that one who doesn't even take a lesson from his own mistakes. So in reality, mistakes everybody will make. No human is perfect. But mistakes our own, we need to make tawbah. Mistakes of others, we need to take lessons from them. Also we should understand the wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that Islamic hudud, punishments, be given in public. Now if you really look at it, Islam is such a pure and wholesome religion that it tries at every point of time to maintain the dignity of every person. But why in hudud must everybody witness he is getting hanged, he has been punished? So that it becomes a lesson for the others that I don't need to get involved in that. Otherwise, the same thing will happen to me. And a person should always regard himself to be the lowest and the worst of all. In regard to those who are smaller, they are also better than me, because they've committed much less guna than me in my life. And for those who are elder than me, they are also much better than me. Why? Because they've made so much more namaz than me, so much more Ramzan than me. And a jahil and an alim, he is much better than me indeed, because Allah has given him his knowledge. And a jahil also is better than me, because the little that he knows, that will take him to Jannah. What guarantee I know that what I know will take me to Jannah? So a person should constantly be in check of his nafs. It is mentioned regarding Khaja Bakhtiyar Kafi rahimahullah that before he passed away, he made few wasiyat he gave, that when I die, that person must make my janazah salah who never missed his tahajjud. That person must make my janazah salah who never seen a ghair mahram woman. And that person must make my salah who never missed his four sunnahs of asr. There were over 250,000 people in the Jami Masjid of Delhi. Amongst them, great huffaz, great qurra, great muhaddithin, great ulama. Nobody stood for came forward. And the janazah was laying from Fajr. After Asr, the ruler of the time, Tipu Sultan, walked in front. And he says, "Oh Bakhtiyar Ghazi, you've exposed to the people today. From the time I have become baligh, I've never seen a woman with lust. I've never missed one tahajjud, and I've never missed the four sunnahs of Asr. But nobody knew that was the day Allah Ta'ala opened to the world." So the reality of life is, whatever we do is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to constantly keep a check on ourselves. Constantly keep a check. And the best way is, as mentioned, we need to give ourselves to a shaykh. Let him, otherwise we will get lost somewhere. Shaitan will take us away. Let him guide us, let him hold us. Like a small child, when a father holds him by the finger and takes him. That is how we need to be taken. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself first, and each and every one of us the understanding of how important it is to make Islam. And at the very same time, how important it is to be in the spark of suluk and link to a shaykh, so that both our deen, dunya and akhirat can be rectified. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.